I want to invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 58 as we read verses 6 through 14. The Pew Bible is on page 638. Isaiah 58, 6 through 14. As we think for a few moments today about acceptable faith. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Excuse me a moment. I'm going to flip this switch here. And the pump stops humming. I was in the seventh grade. We had a science teacher. This doesn't have anything to do with this. But we had a science teacher, and one day we decided to do something, and he came in, and the lights were off, and he flipped the light switch, and everybody in the room went, mm-hmm. He turned them off. We stopped. He flipped them again. Mm-hmm. After the third time, he said, "Oh, there must be something wrong with the lights. I'll have to call in a report." So we had class in the dark that day. And now, a man was talking to a theologian one day. And he said, "Sir, the doctrine that you teach is absolutely absurd. You say that one only has to believe to change the entire course of his life. In my opinion, no one will alter his life by merely believing." The theologian answered, "Well, let me make sure we understand each other. You seem to believe that a person's actions are not governed or affected by what he believes, right?" "Yes," came the reply. The theologian looked at the man and said, "Okay, suppose someone should cry, 'The house where you are is on fire.' Then what would you do?" The man quickly replied, "Why, I would run out the door or maybe even jump out of a window." The theologian looked at him with a slight smile on his face and said, "Oh, then one's action is inseparably related to what one believes. When anyone truly believes in Christ, he becomes a new creature in Christ and shows the genuineness of his belief by openly confessing Christ and by living for him and for others." The man looked down at the floor and had nothing more to say and left the room. Now, we talk about believing in God an awful lot, don't we? And we talk about believing in Jesus and talk about believing in the Bible and believing in so many other things. And I think probably most people at the core of their being and thinking tend to equate that with faith. Believing in God, believing in Jesus, believing in the Bible, believing in this teaching, believing in that teaching. And while that is a part of faith, and an important part of faith, to have those foundational beliefs, such a position is actually the easy part of the Christian religion. Believing is the easy part. Believing in God, believing in Yahweh, was also the easy part of being thought of as a child of God or a son of Abraham. Now, I know that there are people who think that believing, especially in light of scientific inquiry, in light of questions about the Bible and about religion from others, is not always easy. And in part, that's true. It's not always easy, especially when you're bombarded from all kinds of directions and philosophies and other things. And yet, several decades ago, I was reading an article where an astrophysicist was delivering a speech to a group of college students, and someone raised the question about creation and that science would prove everything. And this astrophysicist said, well, you know, I did a study one time on that. And the study was the likelihood of the atoms coming together by chance to form one molecule by chance, which would be the foundation of creation. He said, the closest I could get was the possibility of 1 in 10 to the 350th power. And then it wouldn't even have the spark of life. It would just be a molecule. But we get all kinds. We get bombarded by all kinds of things. So sometimes believing is really not all that easy. Others think that religion and religious doctrine actually make faith more difficult. You've heard it. Just believe in Jesus. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. Just let go and let God. Just let Jesus take the wheel. And so many, many other platitudes to make faith easier. Even using the song, I'm hooked on a feeling, high on believing that you're in love with me. Sorry, B.J. Thomas. All of these easy kinds of things. And people say, that's all you need. You don't need these other doctrines. Okay. Now I'll get off my soapbox. Nah. Don't think I will. I think I'll stay there for a few more minutes about believing and true faith. Acceptable faith. Because it's important for us to think about just what is acceptable. And not just acceptable belief. We can spout all the dogmas out there. But what is acceptable faith? In the passage under consideration, I think we can find several items that will help us to understand faith as an acceptable thing. First, the prophet is speaking here of fasting. I know. Not on Super Bowl Sunday. Fasting. And if I were just talking about fasting from food, okay. Fasting was a part of the rituals of Judaism. And quite frankly, most religions, you find times of fasting. For many, fasting was a very somber kind of thing, which seemed a necessity, a necessary point on the religious checklist. Fasted? Brought Bible? Yeah, we check those things off. The purpose of fasting, though, is not, and I know in some religious traditions, some Christian traditions, Lent will be starting very soon. And people say, well, I'm going to stop eating this so I can lose weight. That's not the purpose. The purpose of fasting is to reflect upon God and to reflect upon God's one's relationship with God and with others. And that is the important part. But not so that we feel good about ourselves and what we think and where we think we are with God. We use self-denial. But as Henry Sloan Coffin writes, and I quote, "It is not self-denial, but loving service that is the true fast of acceptable faith." End quote. Fasting is to separate ourselves or give up or not do something that we normally would. The things that we count as normal. And while many of us think of fasting, and most of us do in food, I think that Isaiah here, in speaking on behalf of God, gives us more of an understanding of what the true faith and fast that God expects entails. Is not this the fast that I choose? And he doesn't say anything about food or giving up food. He does say to share it. But first he says to loose the bonds of injustice. Some of your translations will say to loose the bonds of wickedness. The word there for wickedness means oppressive practices. To give up the things that we normally do that oppress others. Keep them where we want them to be. Keep the tension between those relationships. So he says, first, give up that normal tendency to oppress someone else or to separate from them. To undo the thongs of the yoke. That is, to lift the burdens, because the yoke was a heavy thing to carry. To untie those burdens, not just the burdens that we have, but the burdens that we force others to carry. To let the oppressed go free and break every yoke. To liberate those who feel bankrupt in feeling, maybe in relationships, to liberate them so that they indeed find life. And I don't mean just living, but life that is not drudgery. Next, he moves to something that may sound even more familiar from the New Testament and the Sermon on the Mount. To share bread with the hungry. Or maybe even more so than the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks about sharing. Let's move to the Last Judgment parable. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, help the poor. To share bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor. The word there literally means the poor and wandering who are straying. It's not just, and while it does mean the homeless poor physically, it's those who are wandering and straying away from God into your house. To cover the naked. Not just giving up food, but also to give up the haughtiness that we have over others. That is the acceptable fast and the acceptable faith. It is not to use our faith or our belief to keep others where we want them to be, but to help liberate them because of that relationship that we have with God. And he goes further and says, if you do these things, when you do these things, guess what? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Your light will shine. And not just shine a little bit, but it would be like the dawn breaking forth from the darkness in the morning, illuminating everything. It's not what you inherently have in here, but it's because of that relationship with God that that light breaks forth. You can't contain it. You can't keep it in the bushel of your heart and hide it. It's the light that God's Spirit brings, but it only shines brightly when we allow it to do so. In other words, when we live within it, not just say we believe it. To do. The result is healing. He said, and your healing will come forth. Not just our healing, that's part of it, but also healing of others. And once again, those relationships that he mentioned earlier. James Muhlenberg writes that the word here for healing literally speaks of the growth of fresh skin over a wound. The growth of fresh skin over a wound. Restoring life and relationship. When the true fast of God is observed, then we will be able to call out to God, to pray to God, and God will answer. We'll cry out, and He will say, here I am. Here I am. And all of that sounds good. And we say, but I believe the Bible, and I believe what He says, and I believe God's promises. But quite frankly, God never gives blessing without expecting responsible action. The Bible is full of that. We can't just say, I believe it. We must prove it by what we do. What we do based on that belief. And no, I've used this example several times recently in other venues. I'm not going to walk down here and plop in the chair to prove faith. But if I stood here and I said, I believe that chair will hold me, as I've said on Sunday night the other week, I can stand here the whole time, but I don't have faith in that chair until I go over and plop down in it. Acting upon that belief. And no matter how many dogmas and doctrines or how many Jesus take the wheels we believe, until we do something with it, we do not have an acceptable faith. We prove it in living. And among those things, he says, if you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil. The pointing of the finger was a sign of contempt. It's been replaced by the pointing of another finger far too often these days. That happened to me the other day. Someone switched lanes on me and almost had a wreck at 40 miles an hour on Pleasantburg, and I blew my horn. And this woman immediately waved at me and started running her mouth. As I pulled up beside her, she waved at me again and was running her mouth. And I was contemptuous, and I did like this, and I said, you need to learn to drive or get off the road. So, but the pointing of the finger was a sign of contempt, a sign of scorn. Speaking wickedness was not only quarreling and contention, but it was also the big G word, gossip, which separates people and destroys relationships. He says, if you get rid of those things as well, and then offer your food to the hungry and help the needy, then that's an acceptable fast, an acceptable faith. The Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures on that verse, actually says, give bread to the hungry from your soul. Not to get something else, but because within your own soul, within your own heart, you truly have that, we're in February, that love of God. that causes you to see the needs of others. He says, then you shall be in God's life. And even when things seem dark and dim, you have the promises listed here. The Lord will guide you. Not just sometimes, but all the time. Because He is present. We will walk with Him and He will walk with us. God will satisfy your dry places. Those places where you have drought. Spiritually, emotionally, dry, and God will satisfy those. Far too many people seek the satisfaction in so many other things without God, only to not find it. He will make your bones strong. Bones in Hebrew thought represented the stability of the self, stability of life. And He will bring you water in an unending stream. And God will restore you and your people, building up foundations. And yet, we are called once again to teach those foundations to the next generation and the next. And then he ends these verses by saying, if you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the height of the earth. The word for delight there, by the way, is Eden. Eden. That's not Eaton, E-A-T-I-N, apostrophe. It's Eden, E-D-E-N. He says here, Sabbath is holy. And Sabbath is not only holy ground, Sabbath is holy time. And he says, if you turn back from the Sabbath and you use the Sabbath for your own pleasure, that is, carrying on your own business, then you're dishonoring the Sabbath. It's Sabbath for God's glory, not for man's profit. If you call the Sabbath holy and you honor and respect God in it, then God will lift you up. Not speaking in anger, but respect. And it's not God speaking in anger. Then you will find true delight in the Lord. Your Eden, your garden, will be life in God, which will carry into each day to follow. So before I step off the soapbox, acceptable faith is far more than just saying, I believe, and walking down an aisle, and then going on our own way. Acceptable faith is doing that belief. Proving that we really do believe it and that it makes a difference in and through faithful and faith-filled action. Beginning on Sabbath, or for us Sunday, and then continuing Monday and Tuesday and all the days to follow. Now, I know that's very easy to say. Sometimes it's tough to do. But G.K. Chesterton wrote about the Christian faith, something that I am reminded of far too often, and far too often even in my own life. And I quote, "The Christian faith has not been tried and found lacking. It has been found difficult and far too often left untried." End of quote. So true Christian faith, acceptable faith, is doing. Not just saying, and doing not just so God will give us stars in our crown, but doing because God has done for us and calls us to live that faith for the good of a world for which He died. May we pray. Gracious God, we do thank You that You are patient with us. We thank You that You do not remind us just once that we need to do more. rather than just say we believe. Help us. Help us to remember even more often that it's not just what I say I believe, but it's also what I do with what I say I believe that proves faith or the lack thereof. And so help us, individually and together, to give a more acceptable faith, which will please you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn commitment is 664. Take my life. Lead me, Lord. Easy to sing. How do we do? Number 664. Take my life. Lead me, Lord.